Psalm 108 tonight, and it's you may have a subtitle in your Bible that says a cry for help. I think of this psalm more as the warrior's morning psalm, Christian warrior's morning psalm. If I was to say, as a redeemed people of God, do we face conflict in our personal lives? What would you say? What about our church's life at times? What about our county's life, right here in Russell County? What about the nation? What about the world? And so David was a warrior who had faced many battles. And all of his battles were not just with the enemies of God. And all of our battles are not just with the enemies of God. And sometimes we have battles between Christians, between brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, school boards in the county, or, you know, school boards and it's the county residents, the board of supervisors, whatever. Conflicts abound. I don't know what you think of conflicts, but when I think of conflicts, I always think they are opportunities for God to display his greatness on behalf of his people, if we would just surrender ourselves to him. And again, the Psalms are a book of prayer. And we spoke about prayer Sunday night, and we speak about prayer quite a bit here. And I'd just like to ask you a question. As you look back, just go back to January 1st, 2023, to where you are right now. Have you grown in prayer this year? Have you grown spiritually? Have your prayers taken on a greater depth? Are you praying more often? Do you enjoy prayer? Well, when is the best time to seek the Lord? We're going to discuss that tonight, but I want to begin reading here. He begins his prayer this way. Oh God, my heart is fixed. What do you hear the word fixed? What does that mean for you? Set? Okay. Kathy? Set. Okay. Yeah. Steadfast. Okay. When I think of fixed, it's a position. Like set. Like steadfast. And there's a reason here. He says, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Now, this is important. David has his heart set on God. Sometimes people go to the Lord in prayer, but their heart is set on their problems, not on God. They're trying to convince God of the issues at hand, and what they're really doing is just rehearsing what God already knows is taking place. God already knows all about it because God sees all. He hears all. He's omniscient. He knows everything. But David begins differently. He said, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And that's a good way to begin our day. It does us well if we strengthen ourselves as we glorify God. There's an old song we sing in church. We don't sing it perhaps as often as we should, and not that we need to sing it often, but we ought to remember the song. Count your blessings and name them what? One by one. And see what God has done. And so, do we need God's strength as we go about our days? Yeah. Should we not then clothe ourselves in God's armor? This is reminiscent, if you will, of Paul's admonition to us that Charlotte, if you'll remember, did a children's sermon on, and then I preached a message on it, on the armor of God. How are we to put on the armor of God? Piece by piece with what? Prayer. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you begin praying that way? Lord, today, I am putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Lord, the Bible says, you took him who knew no sin and made him sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Lord, in all my acts today, would you help me respond with righteousness to whatever I face? Would you protect me with your righteousness when the enemy might strike back against me, whether he comes from without or from within? I put on the helmet of salvation. Protect my mind. Transform my thinking. I'm putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace wherever I go. Help me be ready to give a reason for why I believe the way I do. And you put on the peace. You put on the armor, each piece by prayer. How many of you ask God in the morning, Lord, as I wake up, I'm going to begin this day, fill me with your spirit that I will not walk in the flesh. Lord, your word says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I am committing myself to you today, Lord, that I am going to walk in the spirit, but I can only walk if you fill me. Would you fill me with your spirit today? How do you begin your day? Do you begin by singing and praising God? Now, David has within him here the spirit of praise, and it's praise that leads us to pray with confidence. When we count our blessings and we name them one by one, we get to see what great things God has done, and that gives us confidence for praying for future victories in our present and in whatever future God gives us. But his actions here teach us another aspect of prayer. There are times when we must first climb to praise by the ladder of prayer, and then there are other times when we must bless God for the past. And David is coming by praise here. Note what he says. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will what? And give praise. There are times when we've got to sing ourselves into prayer. I got to confess to you, I got a songbook over home. And I have it in my prayer corner where I go to pray. And there are times when I don't know what I ought to be praying for or how I should be praying. So I just break out the book and I begin to sing Blessed Assurance and Sweet Hour of Prayer, and Lord, Teach Me How to Pray, and, you know, we all have our favorites. Near My God to Thee, It Is Well with My Soul. And the more I sing, the more God begins to guide me to that which I should be praying for. And quite often after I'm finished singing, I know what I ought to be praying for. And this is so important here. What better way could any of us begin our prayer than to state where our heart is fixed? When is the last time you told God, my heart is fixed on you, Lord? I'm looking to you for the answers. Lord, my heart is fixed on you. I don't know what to do, but your word says, trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not upon my own understanding. Lord, I've got understanding, but it might not be the right understanding. Show me your ways. Guide me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Do you have things that cause you to worry? How many of you are worrywart? Lord, help them tonight, they in church. So, Lord, you know who I'm speaking to, seeing how none will raise their hand, okay? But some people worry. David did. Life is full of things that can upset us. Life is full of things that can make us feel as if the rug's been pulled from under our feet. And our heart needs to be fixed like Daniel before him. Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not sin against the Lord. Daniel purposed. That's an important thing. He was not going to defile himself with Babylon's goods. He wasn't going to defile himself with Babylon's religion. So he purposed in his heart that he would stay true to God. Now, this is important. Now, there's something else that David does here, and I envy people like Scott and Marcia and Marty and others who can really sing or those who can play instruments. But if you look at verse 2, he says, awake, psaltery, and harp. And David is going to use his instruments to praise the Lord. Now, David could play the harp, we know that, because he used to play to try to calm Saul down. And David is going to use his instruments as a means of prayer. I can picture Marcia and Scott playing their instruments as a means of prayer. Perhaps as they're writing a new song, they're figuring out the notes, or maybe when they get it all done, they offer it back to God as prayer. Marty with his great voice as he sings and searches for music and praises God. Not every one of us can play an instrument, so hopefully we can sing, make a joyful noise anyway. He goes on and he says, I will praise thee. Well, he says, I myself will awake early. Now, this is important. When is the best time to pray? Matthew? Early in the morning before the sun comes up. And I'll tell you why. It's quiet. And we need quiet if we're going to pray. God speaks in what kind of a voice? Still, small voice. Listen, if you got the television going, the radio going, or you got conversation, you got white noise in the background, how is God going to speak to you? And once the day breaks, you're only thinking about what you got to do in that day. And so, here's a question I want to ask. Do you have a morning appointment with God for prayer? Do you have a time set on your alarm clock where you're going to get up and you keep it? The alarm goes off and you're up and you're with God. You're not getting up to serve your husband breakfast. You're not getting up to get take care of other things, unload the dishwasher or start the laundry or whatever it is. You're getting up to be with God and God alone. And this is important. I believe one of the reasons our families, our churches, and our nation is in the shape they are is because we're too comfortable in our beds and not near enough comfortable in prayer. And we are lazy when it comes to praying. Many have the attitude, well, I know I need to pray and I'll get around to it when it's convenient. But the only problem is the convenient time never comes because of all the hustle and bustle of the day. And then we know we need to pray, so we offer up this quick little ditty that really tells God, I know I need to pray, but I really don't have time to pray, so here goes. And it's a 30-second prayer and we're done, or it might be a couple-minute prayer, but our heart really isn't in it. And we don't want to hear God speak to us because, God, I really don't have the time for you to speak. How many of you pray and you get done with what you want to say and you say amen and you leave? My question would be, is that really prayer? Do you pray with an open Bible? Okay, that's a good time to pray. But where is your quiet time and when is it? Where is the time that you say you are alone with God? There used to be a time when I did a lot of traveling. And I'm one of these people that you can have a CD player and a radio, but it's never on in my car. That's my time to pray with God, driving down the road. But now I have a morning time. But one of the things I've discovered is the best time to pray is when it's quiet. But we also need to think about this when it comes to prayer. When does God speak? If you give him your laundry list and say amen and you leave and you feel, well, I've done my duty, I've prayed. When did God speak? Do you have an open Bible? Do you have a Bible by your side? Because sometimes God directs you to a scripture. Now, I'll use an easy example. You have lost people in your family, and so do I. So there you are. You're sitting down to pray for your lost friend. And God has a will for that. He has a desire for that. It's not God's will that any should perish, and we all know that. Amen? What if God were to direct you to 2 Peter 3:9? Or Ezekiel 18:31 that says, choose life and not death. I have set before you this day death and life. Choose life. What if God wanted to remind you in the midst of your worries? Be still and know that I am God. So he directs you to Psalm 46:10. But if you don't have a Bible, God can't speak. So we need to have a Bible with us. Or Jeremiah 33:3, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Or Isaiah, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Or maybe you're a worrywart. And the antidote to worry is prayer. Philippians 4:6, in everything. Through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God in the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And we have all these promises, all these verses of scripture that God might deal with. Maybe you're wrestling with the issue, whatever that issue might be. And you're reminded of Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. You see, when you have the Bible by your side, God is able to speak clearly to you. But my question for you is, when does God get the opportunity to speak? You know how you're praying. You know what you're doing. I have no doubt that you pray. But if we're going to grow in prayer, we've got to challenge ourselves. And so the best time to pray is early, before the hustle and bustle of the day gets started. How many of you have promised you're going to pray at night? And you go through your whole day, and then it's been a tough one. And you sit down to pray, and the next thing you know, you're sound asleep. That ever happened? That used to happen to me, drive me nuts. But David is here. How can you improve your prayer life? So David gives us some instruction here. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I'm going to use my instruments. I'm going to get up early. I will praise thee, verse 3, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Verse 5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and answer me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. Do you get all the power words he's using over and over? Praise, praise, praise. My heart's fixed. God, your mercy is above the heavens. Your truth reaches under the clouds. Be thou exalted. God, you've spoken in holiness. What is the only thing that's going to last after heaven and earth passes? What's the only thing that's going to remain forever? Yeah, God will. But what did he say? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. This is why it's so important to have the Word of God when you go to prayer. Now, we've talked about a lot of things. First of all, you got to pray in the Word of God. You know, you've got to get yourself clothed in the armor. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to get your heart fixed. You've got to have an appointed time. You've got to be ready to praise God. You know, we could take the word ACTS as an acronym, if you will, and the A stands for adoration. When Jesus prayed the model prayer, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It means high, holy, lifted up. Hallowed be thy name. We're not praying to somebody like us. We're praying to the God who knows it all. Isaiah could only describe him as holy, holy, holy. And the Bible tells us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, nor are his ways our ways, saith the Lord. My thoughts are higher, my ways are higher than your ways. And when we pray, we want God's will done in our lives. We want heaven to come down and intervene in our earthly existence. So we got to make certain that we have confessed our sins. So we have adoration. O God, Jesus in the model prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's praise. We've got confession. Forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. Well, what are some of your trespasses? Have all your thoughts been pure, clean, and holy? Have all your actions been pure, clean, and holy? Have all your words been pure, clean, and holy? So we all have things to confess every single day. Purity means confessing. The Bible says, you know, if I regard iniquity in my heart, we talked about this a little bit on Sunday night, the Lord will not hear, but we have a responsibility. God says, come boldly before the throne of grace, but you have got to come the way I tell you to come. You just can't come any old way. So we have to confess. And then we need to be thanking God. That's what the T stands for, thanking God. What can you thank God for today? Well, you're here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God for another day. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his what? Has God proven himself faithful to you today? How many of you have eaten today? You know, we're all sitting here clothed in some fine clothes, and we came in some fine automobiles. God has been good to us. And as Scott said, man, when we look outside, whoo, the I think this is the best the leaves have ever been in my whole time here. I've never seen anything so pretty in all my life. God's given us a week of great weather. But we can also thank God for the problems that are going on. You know, sometimes we want to complain about the problems, don't we? But we ought to thank God. God, thank you that you counted me worthy to be facing this right now. Remember the disciples were out preaching the gospel and they got whooped and beaten for it? And they praised God. Problems, issues, conflicts. You're a child of God. Do you realize that nothing can come into your life that God does not allow? Everything that happens to you and I must first pass through the hands of God. And if God allows it, he's going to see us through it. And if God allows it, guess what God wants to do? He wants us to lean on him, to praise him, to thank him, and trust him as he brings us through the issue. And that begins with praise. You know, Marty said the saying, it's going to be all right. And Scott Marshall picked up on that and they wrote a praise song about it and how beautiful that is. And you know what? No matter what happens to us, it's going to be all right. If you were to die tonight, which is probably the worst thing most people think can happen, what if I die? Well, guess where you are? You're in heaven. What could be better than that? You aren't going to live here forever anyway. And you don't have all the answers for everything that's going on. So if the worst thing that can happen is that we die, hallelujah, amen, we're home with Jesus. Nothing gets better than that. We've left this old world behind and we ain't got no more problems. Heavens, we don't even have any more pain, no more sorrow, no more dying. No more nothing. So problems, whatever your issues are, whatever you might be facing, whatever heartbreak is going on, understand this, God has allowed it, and he's just wanting you to lean on him. What's the song? Leaning on the everlasting arms, safe and secure from all what? You know, I had an opportunity to teach chapel today to the pre-K and kindergarten. So I went home and I got a pair of binoculars. And then I took the kids on an adventure. We went over here and up across the driveway and up into the woods there. And I let them all look through the binoculars to see if they could see any birds. They were making too much noise, so there wasn't a bird to be found. So I had them all sit down and I said, do you think that God can see you through all these leaves? And, you know, the lesson was that God watches over us, and we don't need to be afraid. So we were out in the sunlight, and then we came back across and back into the hallway here of the church, and the lights were out, and there was light from the windows coming in. So it was a little gray, a little dark, but it wasn't real dark. And I asked him, do you think God could see us here? Do you think God would want us to be afraid? And they said, no, God loves us. God watches over us. I said, well, good. I said, come on with me. I took them back in the choir room. Now, when you go in the choir room and you close the doors, turn the lights out, it's dark. There ain't no windows back there. As soon as I turned the lights out, they began to scream. And I said, I didn't turn the lights on either. I said, quiet. Do you think God really wants you to be afraid? Do you think God can see you in the dark? And little Carter said, well, God doesn't want us to be afraid. God watches over us. I said, so what should we do? One of them piped up, we need to pray, bring on the light. So I turned the light on. I said, what's the answer to our problem? They said, prayer and the lesson. God watches over us. We don't need to be afraid. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God does not want you to be afraid. But there are times when we are afraid when we're facing issues. But we need to understand that whatever comes into your life as a child of God first must go through the hands of God. So that issue, whether it comes into a church's life or into a county's life, the issue is who's in control? Who's controlling us? And prayer is such a wonderful thing because God hears our prayers. What is the right hand of God? Why does David call out here specifically God's right hand? Well, if you read the Bible, you will find out that the right hand of God is God's hand of blessing. David wants God's blessing, so he specifically asks for the right hand of God. When God separates, those who are saved are going to be on the right, and those that are goats and lost are going to be on the left. David asks for the hand of God's blessing. He knows that God has spoken in holiness. And so as we think about this, there's just so much here. And he goes on to talk about the enemies of God. And he describes them in various ways. But he knows where his help comes from. His help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He knows where his strength comes from. Through God we should do that. We shall do valiantly. No matter what enemies we face, be they from without or from within, no matter what is going on in our lives, our confidence ought to be in God. Again, there's just so much here. But understand this, we must get clothed to pray effectively. We need to be clothed in the armor of God. We need to be filled. And you have to ask for the filling. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. To be filled, you got to ask for it. God wants you to ask Him to fill you with His Spirit every day. And then you got to figure out how to praise God. But you got to have a time. So again, I want to challenge you tonight. When is your time with God? When the phone is put away, the TV is off, you're in your place. Now, my wife and I, we've done this for years. I don't know how we ever got started on it. Maybe she remembers. I don't. But a long, long time ago, because we've been married a long time. Well, you know, we're ancient. But or the kids like me to tell them a story. So a long, long time ago in a land very far away from here, I met a girl named Michelle, and we got married. And we had children. But we wanted our children to know that there were times when they couldn't come to us because we were with God. So we created a couple special places. I have my corner. She has her corner. When we are in our corner, I don't bother her. She don't bother me. She's with God. I respect that. I'm with God. She respects that. We taught our children when they were young that when mommy's in her corner, you don't go over there and ask her for nothing. She's with God. You let her be with God. Your day will go better for it. Or I was with God. Let me be with God. Our children learned from a young age. When we were up there this year, my younger son said, I remember the Bible times. We were reminiscing about times at home. And it did my heart good that he remembered. They were important to him. People remember what's important to him, amen? But where is your place? For Kathy, she said it was in her car. It's the only time she could get away from Jerry. So I'm just kidding. But Where's your place? And when is it? When do you get up and have time with God, just you and God? Now, we ought to pray all the time. I've not mastered that yet. I'm asking to master it. I'm keeping trying harder and harder to master that. But how many of you have mastered praying ceaselessly? I'm better at it than I used to be, but I'm not there yet. But everything that comes our way ought to be bathed in prayer. So David gives us a lot here tonight, and I don't know what you'll take away when you leave here tonight. Perhaps you'll take away, I need to make a time when I'm going to get up with God. There needs to be a time on my alarm clock that's an appointment when I'm going to be with God. For me, it's 5 a.m. My alarm goes off at 5, and I'm up, and I'm with God. For you, it might be something different. See, I have an appointment with God in the morning, so I'll be in bed by 10 tonight. That's just the way it works. You know? It was interesting, and I'll share this, then we'll close with prayer. You know, my father, he likes to stay up a little later. So when I was up there this year, I said, "Now listen, Daddy, I'm not staying up with you." He said, "Well, why not?" I said, "Because I got an appointment with God in the morning. I'm going to bed at 10. I need at least 7 hours of sleep. So 10 to 5 is 7 hours. So I said, "You're on your own." You know, but he gets up a little later, and then he has his time with God, so he's not talking to me anyway. But you got to have a time with God. And if you don't have a time with God, do you realize how weak you are as a child of God? God wants his children to be strong, to be mighty in the Lord. What makes us strong? What makes us mighty? It is that sweet hour of prayer.